Good morning, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. If this is one of your first times here, there will be a chance later on in the service for you to introduce yourselves if you want to. We also try to encourage you, if this is one of your first times here, to come back and try us out on a different Sunday because our services are different from week to week. Sometimes I do the service. I am Sandy Ingham, Prairie's halftime minister. Sometimes folks from outside our congregation do the service, and often people from within the congregation do it. And we have a special guest this morning. I will say that she is the Reverend Collie Hazlett, who is the daughter of our members, Dawn and Larry Hazlett, and I had a feeling the whole family might gather. Yep. Because there was Leaf saying hi to me. So we will learn a little more about Collie in a little bit. No matter who you are, no matter where you are on this journey of life, this spiritual journey, no matter what beliefs you have, we welcome you. We try to be open-hearted and open-minded. We don't care what your sexual preferences, your gender orientation, the color of your hair, your disabilities, your abilities. We welcome you here. The opening words then are these from J.R.R. Tolkien's The Two Towers. Frodo, I can't do this, Sam. Sam. I know, it's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here, but we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were, and sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now, folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. Because they were holding on to something. Frodo, what are we holding on to, Sam? Sam, that there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. The chalice lighting words were written by Jay Wolin. Are we a people of holding on or of letting go? Holding on to rigid ideas or letting go and opening our minds and hearts to something new? Holding on to certainty of how things should be or letting go and living with the uncertainty of new ways of being in the world? Holding on to what makes us comfortable or letting go so we may grow, which can be uncomfortable. Holding on to what makes us safe or letting go to make room to help others feel safe. With this flame, this symbol of our religion, let it be a symbol of burning up the ties that hold us back from being our true self and reaching our true potential. Let it be a symbol of lighting a new way for us into a better tomorrow. And let it be a symbol of letting go. Because holding on too long and too tightly is never good for the soul. Thank you. And now it is with great pleasure that I turn it over to Collie Hazlett. Always good to have a sister in the pulpit.
So my mom said that I should probably introduce myself. I was going to write like a little biography for Sandy to read, and then I got sick yesterday, so I'm winging it on that part, and I will not be hugging after the service because I don't want any of you to go through the aches and pains I went through yesterday. I am an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. I was ordained at Meadville Lombard Theological School in 2011. In 2012, I went into the field of chaplaincy. I served as a chaplain for the better part of 6 years, starting in 2009 while I was in school through. And now I'm actually a half-time minister for the Sheridan, Wyoming Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. It is their first ministry position, so it's going really well. We're both excited, but it's interesting to be doing Unitarian Universalist ministry in Wyoming. So we actually live in Montana. On the border, and both, neither, there's only a few congregations in all of that two-state area. So today I'm going to start with a reading, and then we'll take just like a moment of silence. And following the reading, I'm going to start playing some recorded music. And so I just invite you to close your eyes or not, however is the most peaceful and rewarding to you during this time, just to sort of let the words wash over you, and then hopefully the music following will give you some time to think and reflect. Our reading today is, "When my mind is still and alone with the beating of my heart, I remember many things too easily forgotten," by Paul Beatty. When my mind is still and alone with the beating of my heart, I remember many things too easily forgotten. The purity of early love, the maturity of unselfish love that seeks nothing but another's good, the idealism that has persisted through all the tempest of life. When my mind is still and alone with the beating of my heart, I find a quiet assurance, an inner peace in the core of my being. It can face the doubt, the loneliness, the anxiety. It can accept these harsh realities and can even grow because of these challenges to my essential being. When my mind is still and alone with the beating of my heart, I can sense my basic humanity. And then I know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. Nothing but my own fear and distrust can separate me from the love of friends. If I can trust others, accept them, enjoy them, then my life shall surely be richer and more full. If I can accept others, this will help them to be more truly themselves, and they will be more able to accept me. When my mind is still and alone with the beating of my heart, I know how much life has given me. The history of race, friends, and family, the opportunity to work, the chance to build myself. Then wells within me the urge to live more abundant. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. I don't know if anyone is quite the geek that I am, but I couldn't help but smile that today's service began with a reading from Lord of the Rings. I could see the kind smile on Sam's face as he told the story, his warmth. The character of Sam in Lord of the Rings is by far my favorite character. He's not the epic hero at the center of the tale. He's not the beautiful and fearsome elf queen, or the dangerous, mysterious, and handsome king of men. He's a hobbit with a round belly, large hairy feet, and a passion for the simple things in life, like tending to a garden on a warm summer's day and second breakfast. Unlike Frodo, he never had the desire for adventure, but he had something that you can't buy and rarely find. Sam's character lived entirely for love and kinship. He traveled through the worlds of men, dwarf, elf, and much more, not only to keep Frodo safe, but I would argue to save his soul. The Lord of the Rings series, for those who are unfamiliar, follows the adventures of Frodo Baggins and the companions who joined him on his journey to destroy the One Ring. There are many life lessons within the series. Themes of friendship and love, lessons about power and corruption, tales of unimaginable heroics, laughter, suspense, and sorrow. But the reason I bring it up today is because I wanted to talk about caring for the soul. We take care of our health, our homes, our children, and sometimes our children's children. We make sure we are fed and those we love have a roof above them. But there is an essence within each of us. How do we take care of that? What someone might call, what we might call the soul. One of the things that always touched my heart in Lord of the Rings is the relationship between Sam and Frodo. It is Sam who takes care of Frodo. He makes sure he eats and often watches over him when he sleeps. But it's more than that. There was this way that Sam cared not only for his soul, but also for Frodo's. It's almost as if there was a purity to Sam that kept he and Frodo going against all odds. As the story goes, the ring was created to control all, and the power of the ring corrupts anyone who comes into contact with it. And I believe Sam, without Sam, even Frodo, a very kind, playful, and gentle soul, could not have sustained himself against the power of the ring. And I was reminded, I too have had help in caring for my soul. Something I believe we need now more than ever. Something that can happen with the simplest or the grandest of gestures. At my home congregation, we have a monthly potluck. One of the joys of such a meal is that it's easy to hop from table to table and join in different conversations. At first, it seemed like I engaged mostly in conversations about my recent wedding and honeymoon. Then I listened to very funny stories about trials, errors, and wonderful successes of parenting. All the while watching our newest and youngest member of the fellowship, six-month-old Sam, get happily passed from person to person. Towards the end, I found myself engaged in a conversation about politics. The conversation started with the good news that membership in liberal congregations has increased nationally. And then the sad news that many believe this is because of Trump. Because of Trump or not because of Trump, there's a great deal of fear, anger, and hurt in America. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And because of that, more people have gone looking for community, more caretakers of their souls. And I believe we, as Unitarian Universalists, have something unique to offer them. We have a theology that says, maybe I don't know, and maybe that's okay. Religion is hard for many people. hard to embrace, hard to even talk about. And the history of religion is a very violent, divisive, and oppressive history. But religion can evolve. We can evolve. Kara, my wife and I were having a very interesting conversation over breakfast last Friday morning. I was geeking out on her about my love of church history. We were reading an article in Time magazine, and I started telling her that what makes congregational churches so interesting is that they trace their history back to Puritans. Puritan churches in America started as town hall churches. They were covenantal churches. They had no guide for how to form a church when they came into being. Unlike Methodist, Lutheran, and Catholic churches that would follow, congregational churches were started primarily by immigrants to America. They were started by people who were seeking religious freedom from persecution and heavily dogmatic, hierarchical, and oppressive structures of the churches in Europe. And Salem witch trials aside, they were in no means perfect. Every movement that has ever existed has had extremists, and people often fall prey to fanatical and charismatic leaders. But these Puritans are the ancestors to our modern-day United Church of Christ, Church of the Brethren, and Unitarian Universalist churches. What these ancestors gave us was covenant. The idea of covenant allows each congregation to form their own unique and cohesive understanding of how to be in relation with one another. It allows us to have a starting point to talk about what matters most to us and provides a way that we can have that conversation respectfully. What happened during my breakfast conversation with Kara was a realization I had not put together before. Kara suggested that maybe it was possible, this understanding of how we create community that allowed congregational churches to be more progressive earlier than other faith traditions. I was blown away. I'd never thought about it before. That maybe, because our church structure requires us to look at and reassess our covenant over and over through the passage of time, we also adjust our religious beliefs in line with our changing perceptions of the world and morality. The principles of Unitarian Universalism are not the same principles of 50 years ago. Our campaigns to stand on the side of love and that Black Lives Matter did not exist even 10 years ago. But the point I'm most excited about is that change is possible. And congregational churches seem more ready and able to change before their fellow Christian counterparts. And the theology, I believe, to be the motivating force behind that is maybe I don't know, and maybe that's okay. I believe we, as Unitarian Universalists, embrace a happy amount of uncertainty about what we know to be true. And this acceptance of not knowing makes it possible for us to accept new things, to rise to new challenges, because we don't have to be right and we don't have to know everything. Maybe this unknowing can also help us protect the care of our souls and one another. May we embrace this uncertainty as a gift. Let us be thankful for the opportunity and the ability to meet one another not as we want each other to be, but as we are. And may we take that same acceptance into the world to sow seeds of love and kinship. So, like my favorite character, Sam, we may see the good that is possible and continue to fight for it.
So I'm thinking of both the concept of it's going to be okay and the difference between the ending of the movies of Lord of the Rings and the books and Sam saying, in effect, it's going to be okay, and that part of not knowing means not knowing what okay is going to be. that okay doesn't mean, as at the end of the movie, is that everything goes back to the bucolic, you know, idyllic farmside life, or to the idealized, at least white upper middle class version of the 50s and 60s economy in this country. But to say instead, it's going to be okay, and that might never look like what okay looked like before, because I think all of us have been in a moment where we have been suffering, and someone has said, you'll get through it, it'll be okay, and it feels like our suffering is being ignored or dismissed or minimized. And so I think that there's room to hold, in our theology, there's room, in our faith, whatever you want to call it, there's room to hold both of those. Things will be okay, and also things can be really hard and really terrible at the same time. And part of not, you know, trusting that things will be okay is the faith, but the not knowing is not knowing what that will look like.
Closing words are by Unitarian Universalist Minister Wayne Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear. And the stakes are very high. Take courage. For deep down, there is another truth. You are not alone. Blessed be all men. May it be so. Greet your neighbor, drink coffee, go to the board meeting if you're on the board. And thank you.